tonight. If you need a handout, please come and help yourself with that. We have plenty here. And we are involved in a Wednesday night study on prayer. The title of this series is A Passion for Prayer, Experiencing a Deeper Relationship with God. Lesson one was why we must pray. Lesson two was the place of prayer. Lesson three was five biblical principles to remember when asking God. Lesson four was who will the Lord hear? Lesson five is why is God silent? Lesson six was when you pray. Lesson seven was the secret power of prayer. Lesson eight last week was Jabez the man and his prayer. And tonight we'll be speaking about three keys to answered prayer. 1 John chapter 5. Now, 1 John is a small book, just five chapters. And normally when I lead someone to the Lord, they'll ask me, should I start reading the Bible? And I'll say, yes. And they say, well, should I start in Genesis? And I'll say, no. And I say, well, where should I start? And I say, 1 John. You should start in 1 John. 1 John is the certificate of assurance. And all through the short chapters of the book of 1 John, over and over and over and over and over, it validates our salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I use that verse all the time to give assurance to people who I just led to the Lord. I ask them, I said, who's your confidence in? Is it in your church membership? Is it in your baptism? Is it in your good works? No, your confidence is in him. But why? Because he's the one who died on the cross for us. And then I share, if we ask anything according to his will, is it God's will that you die and go to hell? Absolutely not. That's why God sent his son to die for us. Is it Jesus' will for you to die and go to hell? Absolutely not. That's why he gave his life for us. And so if it's his will, if it's according to his will, he heareth us. How do we know that God hears us? When we ask that which is his will. It is God's will that we all come to him and be saved. And then and if we know that he hears us, how do we know that he hears us? What we're asking is in accordance with his will. Whatsoever we ask, I like that. I like whatsoever, and I like anything in this verse. Whatsoever and anything. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the answers that we desire of him. Now, some years ago, there was a missionary who was once asked to treat some soldiers who had been in a terrible, terrible military battle. And although this missionary was not a medical doctor, he had had some basic first aid, and he was happy to help the commanding officer with his wounded. And he was dealing with basically some small things and treating them, and he had a first aid kit and some meds that he could help them with. But finally, they came in with one particular man with a broken leg, and it was broken very badly, and he didn't know how to set the leg, and he began piffering through a bunch of books trying to find a medical book that might show how to set this dear man's leg, and could not find anything to assist him or to help him. So the missionary got on his knees, and he prayed, and he said, God, help me. Help me help this man. He's in pain. He's hurting. Help me. And about that time, there was about six beggars who came into the tent asking for food. And he quickly gave them bread and gave them water. And these men were skin and bones. They were emaciated, skin and bones. And after he gave them bread and some water, they left, except for one. One beggar stayed. And the man was just a mere skeleton of bones. And the missionary finally realized that God had answered his prayer. Here's a man who was just like a skeleton that he could feel his and see his femur bone and see exactly how it connected, and was praising the Lord and was able to set the man's leg. He believed in the verse, affectional fervent prayer of a righteous man. And in order to get an answer to prayer, we have to, first of all, pray. People of prayer. We're talking about the passion for prayer. There are people who have a passion for prayer, and they see God do great things. But if we go deeper in our prayer life, we will experience a deeper relationship with our Lord and with God. Now, in order to get the answers, we have to pray. And the Word of God provides three keys for us that will open the door of prayer in our lives. First of all, notice the key of confidence in prayer. Confidence. He tells us in verse 14 of our text, and this is the confidence that we have in him. I heard about an elderly man who had never taken a trip on a plane or a jet. And he was extremely fearful about it. I know people who are that way. They never get to fly to the mission field. They never. There's some. By the way, I'm going to be flying more this year than I ever have, and I wish you'd pray for me. I'd rather drive. I've learned that when I drive, when I get there, so does my luggage, too. We all arrive at the same time. And anyway, we'll be flying, there's a lot of hassle to that. Used to be a privilege. And this elderly man, he never had flown. He was up in age, and he thought he would try it one time before he died. And his grandkids were excited about it. They paid for him to fly in across country to be with them. And so he was excited about it. And the grandkids asked him when they picked him up at the airport, Granddaddy, how was the experience? And he replied, "It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But I'll tell you what, I never did put my full weight down in the plane." And I think that's the way many of us are when it comes to God. We pray and we ask God to do something, but we never really put our full weight down and depend upon him to get us to the location. Now, we must call on God in confidence. Confidence. Confidence is to be steadfast, to have assurance. There are people, they might say, you know, I have confidence in that young man. What they're saying is that he's a steadfast person, and they have some real assurance in him. So many times we call on God in prayer, and we take him at his word only to just not trust him towards the end. We waffle back and forth, and that's not faith. God's not going to honor that. You know, we can't please God without faith. And God is honored that we trust him. He is blessed by that. And notice there are two major reasons we should have confidence in prayer. I said that we must call on God in confidence, and there's two major reasons why we should have confidence in prayer. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work. I believe that to be so. So praying without confidence will not open the doors of God's blessing in our life. It's interesting how people think, and you need to listen carefully on this and stop your thinking in some ways. Some people, your whole life, the cup is half empty. I used to be in sales many years ago and did quite well. But there's some people, you don't walk up to the door with an item and say, "You don't want to buy this, do you?" You know, you're not going to sell doing that, let me tell you. And there's no confidence. And if you have confidence in the item that you're selling, you can stand behind it and you can really get with it and convince people that they have a need for that. What are the two major reasons that we should have confidence for? Well, we have an earnest petition. Confidence, we have, and it's confidence. This earnest petition. Praying without confidence will not open the door of blessing. The Apostle Paul says that we have confidence, and we should have confidence in the Lord. We should have confidence that he hears us. And he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Now, we know that we are abiding in him. We should have confidence that he's hearing us because we're abiding in him. If we're not walking in him, if we're not abiding in him, we have a problem there. But when we're close with God, we're right with God, we're abiding with him, we can come boldly before the throne of God. And we have this confidence because we know we're abiding in him. And then, secondly, we know that the petitions we ask in prayer are motivated by the right reasons. When we're asking God, when we're abiding in him, and we're asking God, our motivation is for the right reason, is for righteousness. Listen, we should have great confidence in God that he's going to hear us in that. Now, unlike the person who's described in James, the book of James. Description here. There are those who ask for selfish motives. In James 1, verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Now, amiss is something that's either selfish motives or it's an unscriptural purpose. God's not going to hear that. God, you say, call unto me, and I'll answer thee. God, make me a millionaire. Help me win the lottery tomorrow. Help me win it. Probably no spiritual, scriptural foundation for you to pray that. You see, let me tell you something. We don't just pray off of whims of what we want. And God's not as concerned about us getting our will done here on earth. He's more concerned about us getting heaven's will done here on earth. That's what it's about. And so there's that person who will ask amiss. It's something unscriptural. It's something that is selfish. And the Bible says, ye ask and you receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And then there are those who are wavering in their faith. Verse 5 and 6 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. That person who's praying for selfish motives, that person who's asking for something that's unscriptural, that person who's wavering in his faith, God's not going to answer. He's telling us, listen, he's saying, if you do these things, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to hear you. And then lastly, there's that unstable person he speaks about, verse 7 and 8. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, there are a lot of unstable people that I've met, a lot of unstable Christians that I've dealt with. And I remember many years ago when I was an associate pastor, there's a man who he came to the altar, and I was the over the altar workers, and I knelt down by him, and I was praying with him, and I said, what can I help you with today? And he says, God's called me to be a missionary to Africa. And I said, well, praise God. I said, have you talked to your wife about this? No, she doesn't know anything about it. I said, well, listen, you don't need to make this public until you talk to your wife. And you need to sit down, and you and your wife, you need to pray about it. And he says, okay, all right. And he went back to his pew, and I went back up on the platform, and the pastor said, boy, God's met with us today. Is there anybody here that just feels like you just got to share what God's done in your heart? And this man says, God, I've surrendered this morning to be a missionary to Africa. And his wife almost fainted right there. Now, he never went to Africa. He never got in ministry. And, he's doing a different ministry every 3 months. He's unstable. You know, if God leads you to do something, listen, do it and stick with it. Stay with it. And, he's double-minded. He was unstable. There's a man who came to his pastor, and he says, Pastor, I've got this terrible problem. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, and I'm just concerned. Would you please pray for me about this matter? And the pastor was, absolutely, I'd be glad to pray for you, but let me ask you, have you prayed about it? And the man said, well, I've prayed a little bit, but I figured if anyone could get a prayer through, it'd be you. Now, let me say that all believers, the children of God, should have confidence in their prayers that can be heard in heaven. Why? What are the two major reasons we should have confidence in prayer? Well, we have an earnest petition. Confidence, we have this earnest petition. We are, understand, we are abiding in Christ, and the petition, the question, the desire that we're asking, has the right reasons, the motivation is right with it. And then secondly, we have an excellent person. The Bible says, in him. I can get all behind that. Amen. He tells us, look there, and this is the confidence that we have in him. And so we don't just have this earnest petition. We have this excellent person in him. Our confidence is not in ourselves. I'm not going to pray, then get up and make it happen. I'm not going to pray and then go grab my Visa, go grab my MasterCard. I'm not going to pray and go sell, half my possessions to try to make things happen. Our confidence should not be in ourselves. Our confidence is in him. And listen, he's an excellent person to have our confidence in. It was the Pharisees who were self-centered. It was the Pharisees who were self-righteous. It was the Pharisees who were self-serving. And it's the Pharisees who were self-sufficient. Luke chapter 18, we have an illustration of that. In verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And you know, a publican is a tax collector. He was one of the Jewish people who worked for the Roman government. He was despised. Zacchaeus was one. I think Matthew was one. And Zacchaeus got saved. Zacchaeus, you come down for today. I'll abide at your house. And not only did he just get saved, he got right with everybody. He paid back that and then some who he had stolen money from. And so we see here that this Pharisee and this publican, they go to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, what does that mean? He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He's saying, oh, God, I'm grateful. I'm not sorry like these other guys. I'm something great. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, are even as this publican, this rotten guy right over here. That's what he's praying. And of course, you know the Pharisees. They would go out into the public marketplace. They would stretch out their arms, and they'd have on their Pharisaical garb, and they would lift up their voice, and they would give these lofty prayers, and they would go over the Valley of Baca on wings of eagles to Mount Moriah, and all these different things, and they could flat put it on. Now, can I tell you something about prayer? And can I help you with something? When we pray privately or corporately, we're praying to God. And when we pray, we should pray to him and not pray to other people. So now, how do we do that? If I'm praying, I'll say, God, now I need your help. I pray that you'll meet the need of my neighbor, he needs to be saved. But I don't say, God, I need your help with my neighbor. He got mad at me yesterday, and he threw his weeds in my garden. And, Lord, you know he's a mean man. And this 2 months ago, he did the same thing. And a month before that, he came over and pounded on my door. Can I tell you something? God does know that. And you're not praying to God. You're letting everybody know the scenario of your situation. Are you with me? Because that happens a lot here. Now, Lord, I love you, and I have some needs. I pray that you'll meet this need. Because, Lord, you know I got fired yesterday, and you know that guy's been hard to work for. And all of a sudden you start praying. In your prayer, you're telling the story to include everybody what's going on. Let me tell you something. God knows. Pray to God. Don't pray to everybody around you. Be conscious of that. You're wasting time. You know, prayer should be direct. And we should not pray and tell, be a narrative of our life. Now, Lord, you know. Well, if he knows, what are you telling him for? You know, what you're not telling, you're not talking to him, you're talking to people around you. So stop that. That's not what you should do. Am I being harsh tonight? I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to help you in your prayer life, okay? Matter of fact, I want to help you. Next time you start doing it, I'm going to say, stop it. Don't do that. Yeah. You stop doing that. Now, Lord, you know, it's really, you know it's cold outside. We all know it's cold outside. You know, be direct in your prayer. So he prays, and he says that he's grateful that he's not like this man. And he says, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, listen. The object of our confidence is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, that's who we're praying to. We don't have to go into the whole scenario so everybody around us gets what's going on. God knows what's going on. And, so you don't go into a whole line. Jesus makes intercession for us because he is our great high priest. You know, he goes before God for us. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the Lord goes before God the Father, and he makes intercession for us. There's times David and I have prayed, and I said amen. And we start pouring my third or fourth cup of coffee. And I said, oh, I forgot this. Let me pray again, Debbie. And I bowed my hand and I said, Lord, I forgot this. Would you do this? But I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, speaks about and what Hebrews 12 is talking about. When there are things that we leave out, they go before God and make intercession for us. If I say, God, would you please help me? Lord, provide safety for me today. And help me today. Amen. The Lord or the Holy Spirit can go before God Almighty and say, and Lord, give him extra safety because his tires are bad or whatever. I'm just giving an illustration. He goes before us and makes intercession. Now, listen, there's some Christians who do not behave Christian. You want to make sure you get all that you think's coming to you, and you want to make sure your kids get all you think's coming to them. Well, you need to trust God to provide, make that provision for you. His children have never, ever been left out in the cold. So, you know, question, is there anything too hard for God? No. Here's where we get into trouble. We don't care if it's God's will or not. We just want what we want. And we can tack it on to God and put God in the equation, and we feel better about it. You know what? I don't want anything God doesn't want me to have. I drive a 2014 Toyota Camry. It's got 138,000 miles on it. It is a little bit tight for me to squeeze in, but it's good on the gas. I don't need a Lincoln. Well, what's wrong with having a Lincoln? I don't think anything's wrong with that, but I think God's met my need. I get from point A to point B. I've been doing it for years, and I do it cheaper than I would in a Lincoln, I think. Amen. You know, be content. Contentment is great gain, not riches. That's what Paul said. Be content. Be thankful for what you've got. You know, can I tell you, you don't need 157 pairs of shoes. You need two or three. You need some hunting boots. And you don't need all those shoes. You know, you need some, you need some pumps. You need a pair of pumps, and you need a, those slingshot shoes, I forget what they're called. But, you know, get you a pair and be done with it. Oh, no, no, I got to have all this stuff. We don't have to have all this stuff. It's all going to burn anyway one day. Now, folks will say, man, prayer changes things. You believe that? Amen? Amen, I do too. People will say, man, prayer works. You believe that? I do too, but let me say that's partially true because we must remember that it is God who's working for us. Understand, prayer is not the end. Prayer is the means to an end. And it's God who's working for us. And this is the reason why we should have great confidence in our prayer. Now, number two, we spoke about, number one, that there's the key of confidence. We should come boldly before the throne. Now, listen to me. What we're asking is not unselfish. We're not wavering in our faith, and it's not unscriptural. We're not being unstable. Our motive is right. We can come before God with great confidence and ask him to meet our petition or our need. Secondly, notice the key of conformity in prayer. There needs to be a conformity to us in prayer. In other words, God is not always going to change. We might need to change in the way we're praying. He tells us two words, verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now, if you're marking your Bible, you should circle if and anything, or according rather, and anything. Those three words, if, anything, and according. Now, conformity to Christ is not only vast, it is in its scope. It is also vital for our hope. Conformity to Christ is not only vast in its scope, it is also vital for our hope. Now, vast in its scope, if we ask anything, That's vast. Anything. What's off the table? I don't know. It's anything, is what he tells us. When we, when we pray, what can we pray for? We can pray for anything, and we can pray about everything. What a blessed word anything is. It's a beautiful, bountiful word that we can go before God, and we can pray for anything. Matthew 18, verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. John 14, verse 4. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, so we see the vast in its scope. It's anything. And then we see the vital for our hope according to his will. So we have if, anything, according. Those are key words to see answers to prayer. Many quote this verse and they stop at anything. I can have anything. Anything. Well, that's not what he's saying. He's saying if it's in accordance with his will. When Jesus prayed in the garden, what did he pray? What is it? Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. And there will be some people who will say, and they're more of a charismatic persuasion, you're asking in doubt, and you're asking in wavering, and it's your right to demand. You go before God and you demand. I'll tell you something, I don't think we go before God and demand anything. We ask. He didn't tell us to demand. We don't rebuke the devil or rebuke God in our prayers and say, God, you have to do this, and you've told me this, and you've told me that, and quote the scripture to God. How stupid we must look to God. God knows the scripture. He's the word made flesh. And if we shall ask anything in my name, now it's in accordance to his will. Many they quote this verse and they tend to stop after anything. But everybody likes the part about anything, but we find in the very beginning the prerequisite is if. That word if is a small word, I-F, if, and it is conditional. If, and it's followed by according to his will. Now, I want to tell you about, probably about 27, 28 years ago, I came to a point, some of you pastors, you may differ with me, and that's fine. And some of you other folks, you may differ too, and that's fine. When you all get to heaven, you'll see I was right. But I don't believe in unspoken prayer requests. I don't believe that. I don't believe in them. And we don't ask for them here. We used to years ago, 30 years ago we did, but I stopped doing that. Because I don't think we can pray with authority without knowing what the request is. How many have prayer requests? Pray for my mother, she's sick. Pray for my son, he has surgery coming up. How many unspokens? Unspoken. You know, I don't believe in unspokens. You know, how do I know that you're not praying for your wife to die because you met somebody at work? How many of you think that's foolish? Raise your hand. You do? Well, I've had people come in my office and say, God's leading me to leave my wife for another man. I've had that come in my office. That's something Spurgeon ever dealt with, I don't think. I've had people come in my office and say, God is leading me to leave my wife for this other woman I met because she really helps me and she understands me, she gets me. And I tell him, show me the scripture God's led you in that. Because you can't. And you are being led by your own flesh, your filth of the flesh. And they don't stay in the church when you tell them that kind of stuff. I don't think we can ask for unspokens. And I know that there are burdens we have that aren't speakable. I think when We're praying for children like the Sharps children, and we're praying for Thomas to get well. And I think that we're praying for so-and-so to get a job. I think it'd be hard for someone to pray for my son. He's a homosexual. Pray for my daughter. She's a prostitute. I don't think that's going to come out in a corporate prayer meeting. Do you? I don't. And none of this is facetious or foolish. That is the case in many, many situations. And I think that we have to go to a select group of people who have that kind of burden, who understand. You know, let me tell you, if you can throw money at your problem and fix it, your problem is not very big. We say, well, preacher, it's $10,000. I don't have $10,000. You can find it. God has supplied a way. Get a second job. You'll work it out. But, you know, if your wife is in a car wreck and she's on life support, money, you can't throw money at that and fix that. Yeah. And there's some, there's a core group in every church, and they want to say unspoken because it's too horrific to verbalize. But I don't think there's any power in that. And I think that we have to come together with that select group, and it needs to be finely tuned. It needs to be what I've been talking about this progressive prayer movement. It's progressive. It's step up from corporate. It's not just talking about praying for revival. It's not talking about, you know, you need a new car because yours is quit. You know, it's not talking about that stuff. It's talking about stuff that only God can do. And if it happens, God's going to be the one who does it. Now, something that's important here is everyone, they love that part about anything, but the prerequisite of that is if and according to his will. Now, here's a key statement. I want you to listen to it. The conformity to Christ, to have divine authority and authorization for the request we make in prayer. We got to have that. We've got to conform to God's desire for our life. The conformity to Christ, to have his divine authority, his divine authorization for the request that we're making in prayer. Now, where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God. That's where faith is exercised. I was reading my Bible, and God spoke to me as clearly, not audibly, but it was very clear, and God told me to take our church north. I knew that. I know it. No doubt about it. I know it. And we voted as a church to do so. It was the Lord's will, and here we are. All that you see, what you're sitting on, is faith. All that we have is faith. We had nothing. We had no ability. We had no property. We had no money. We had nothing. But God showed us a passage, a scripture verse, and we stepped out, not in foolishness, but in faith, on that passage. And when things looked like it wasn't going to happen, we went back and said, God, you showed me that, and I stand firm on it. And God says, I like your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he says, I'll make it happen. I'll give you 15 and a half acres of the most prime property on Van Drive. God did that. Nobody's smart enough. Nobody's clever enough. There's not a man in this church from the pastor down can make that happen. I want to tell you, God did that. And he did that because he spoke to us. He gave us divine authority and divine authorization to make that request and to stand there. He put that burden in our heart, and that's why it happened. Now, someone has said the whole essence of prayer is to find the mind of Christ. The essence of prayer is not us to dictate to God, God, I want this and I want that. He's not Santa Claus. And it's not we give him our wish and he, you know, bink, and it happens. When we pray to him, he tells us what he wants to have done, and he wants to work in a powerful way through us to accomplish it. Abraham Lincoln said, I am satisfied that when Almighty God wants me to do or when Almighty God wants me to do or not to do a particular thing, he finds a way of telling me so. And I want you to know this. God. He makes his will clear. He makes it clear through the word of God. And he gives us that pedestal, that foundation is his word of God to stand on. And then he gives us peace in prayer. Anytime someone comes to me and says, I feel like God wants me to go to San Francisco, Sacramento, Toledo, Ohio. Well, how do you know? Well, I've prayed about it and I got peace. That's not good enough. Do you know that? It's not good enough. Because you can put God in a headlock of your will, of your agenda, of what you want to happen through prayer. God should lead us through this book. He gives us direction through this book, and then he seals it with peace through prayer. They work hand in hand. The word of God and prayer go hand in hand. Listen, if you're not praying, you're not reading this book either. It goes hand in hand. If you're not in church, you're not doing any of it. Yeah. Someone said that prayer, the prayer that reaches heaven is the prayer that begins in heaven. Finding the will of God, accomplishing what God wants done. When you pray, listen, when you pray, do you have the divine authority and authorization from the Lord through the Bible for your request? Do you have that? Until you get that, be still and know. Don't you move. Don't you budge. Don't be pressured. Don't be pushed. We are to be led. We are his sheep. He leads his sheep. He doesn't prod and push and kick and punch his sheep down the trail. Lastly, there is the key of confidence in prayer. There's the key of conformity. We're finding the mind of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We conform to his will, to his desire. And then notice the key of comfort in prayer. What is that? Verse 14, three words. He heareth us. That brings great comfort. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, in these verses, verses 13, 14, and 15, he tells us three times that we can know, K-N-O-W. Those are absolutes, and we should know. Now, there are two promises we need to realize. The first promise is this, his audience. He's there. I love Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We have his audience. He's there. Tell you one thing, prayer is hard work. If he's not there, we can go through the formal things and we can do our, you know, rope memory prayers and nothing happened. It didn't get off the ceiling and nothing happened. But when he's there, you know it. And we have these two promises. The first one is the promise of his audience. He's there. God gives us his presence. He's there. And then secondly, there's the promise of his attention. He heareth us. God gives us his ear. He gives us his presence. He's there. He gives us his ear. He hears. There was a man who worked in the court of Alexander the Great. And he once asked Alexander the Great for financial assistance. And the king, Alexander, told him, go to my treasurer and ask whatever amount you need. A little time had passed and the treasurer came to the king, to King Alexander. And he told him that this man had come to him and had submitted an enormous amount of money. And he desired to know whether or not he should give it to him. And the king replied and said this, give him whatever amount he has asked, for he has treated me as a king in his asking, and I shall treat him as a king in my giving. How might King Jesus feel about the way we approach him with our prayers? Now, how do we approach him with our prayers? The three keys that will unlock the door of prayer and blessing. The key of confidence. Go before him believing. And not just something that we want or our desires, but we have his authorization and his authority from the Word of God. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is the final authority. And let him lead you in that. Have confidence. Go to him. The key for answer prayer is conformity. When we're asking something that we're wavering in, or it's a selfish, or it's unscriptural, or it's something that it's not in accordance to his will, cancel it. Stop asking and find out what the mind of God is. And then there's the key of comfort. What is that? He gives us his audience. He's present. He gives us his ear. He hears. God's people said, amen. All right. Let's stand and pray. Lord, I think of people who have needs. I know we just covered a whole list of needs, a lengthy list. Most of it's dealing with some great sickness. In that group, there are those who have a stomach bug and who have a fever, and they're going to get better. And there are those who have amputations, and some who possibly have cancer and greater things that we're not even sure of yet. We have those who are in their 60s, and we have some that are 4. And they've had tests, and we don't know what to expect. But, Lord, we're vulnerable, we're frail, we're incapable. And we need you. And Lord, we don't want to lean into our own understanding. We want to look to you. And we have burdens that we want to bring before you. You tell us to bring our burdens. But Lord, some of the things that are selfish, that are unscriptural, some of the things that are we're fluctuating on, it's unsound. Some of the things that you mentioned in the book of James, help us to see that and then dismiss it. Lord, help us to pray privately and corporately to you. Our prayers should not be a narration of our day or of the issue or the situation. It should be to you. And it doesn't matter if the people around us understand. What matters is that you know, you understand. Help us to go deeper in our prayer. Deeper in our relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that we'd be people of confidence when we come boldly before your throne. I pray we'd be people of conformity when it's not in alignment. It's not according to your will that we would do the changing and get in alignment with you. And then, Lord, I pray for the comfort. The very fact that even though nothing's changed, the chaos is still there, the struggle, the disappointment's still there, the issues, the circumstance and situation, it's still there. But yet we have comfort because you've given us your presence, you're there, and you've given us your ear, and we can trust you in it. These are great things. This is very simple and simplistic, but it helps us to understand how to come and approach you. Help us tonight. Help us. Now listen carefully, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to listen carefully. If you're here tonight and you're carrying a burden, and it's not material, it's not a transmission, it's not a job, it's not, $50 or $500 or $5,000. It's an impossible situation. It's a heavy burden. And if God doesn't intervene, it's not going to be fixed. And you so much want it. It's not unscriptural. It's not selfish. It's right in motive. It's biblical. and you want to see God work in that, if you have a burden like that, would you raise your hand and just hold it up? Because I want to see your hands. Keep them up for a minute. Because I want to see your hands, and I want to pray for you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to know this. I love you. And my hand was up too. I don't want to wait 20 years for things to get fixed. I want God to fix it tonight. And God can. I think my motive is right. I think it's scriptural. I don't think it's selfish. I don't think it's unscriptural. I don't want to waver in faith on it. God can do it. And maybe we need to get together in a progressive prayer meeting. Those of us who raised our hands. Now the rest of you, thank God. God bless you. You're not in that boat yet. You may be one day. I hope not. But right now you need prayer. You want God's blessing, and there's some things that are concerning for you. And you can share that corporately, and you can share that audibly. But those of you who raised your hand, if you're like me, you wake up with it and you go to bed with it. If you're like me, you wake up in the middle of the night and you see what the devil